This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
Good afternoon, I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. Thousands of people gathered today in Chicago to honor the life and legacy of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was among them. My WBEZ colleague Mawa Iqbal has this.
Pritzker conjured imagery of water to symbolize Jackson's legacy.
Reverend Jackson was at once a mighty roaring river, able to create movements and galvanize masses with his words and his passion. And a gentle brook, able to provide guidance and comfort.
Pritzker said even when Jackson's health declined, his mind stayed sharp.
He never failed to pull me aside at an event to ask about something in the news or offer a word of advice or encouragement.
He ended by quoting the Bible, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." Mawa Iqbal, WBEZ News.
Jackson's legacy includes Operation Breadbasket, the Rainbow Push Coalition, and two presidential campaigns in the 1980s. But before any of that, he was just a kid from Greenville, South Carolina. This week, my WBEZ colleague Summer Van Benton went there to discover how Jackson became the somebody who later inspired others to believe that they're somebody too.
In the late 1950s, Leola Robinson says that Greenville, South Carolina was still known for being deeply segregated.
We knew that we could not drink out of a white water fountain. We knew we could not go to a white-only restaurant. It was the way things had always been.
Though Greenville looks very different today, Robinson still lives in the community, about a 10-minute drive from what was Sterling High School. That's where she got to know a popular student and star athlete named Jesse Jackson.
I was just thinking about the first time that Jesse spoke to me. Because I was in the ninth grade, Jesse must have been a senior.
That day, Robinson was working in the cafeteria.
You know, my heart probably started beating real fast because this was a senior now, good looking. Football player, everything, leaning over. And he knew my name.
Robinson says Jackson asked her to help him win some votes in a student election. Little did she know, he'd asked several other freshman girls too.
What that taught me was how he tapped me and he tapped all those other folk that I didn't know about to get him that election, which he won. That's what we have to do when we are engaged in organizing and mobilizing people for a certain outcome.
Robinson would go on to become a representative in the South Carolina State House. Jackson, of course, would eventually become a rising star in Chicago, where he led the Rainbow Push Coalition. But first, he had to prove himself as a part of the civil rights movement in Greenville.
The movement for sitting in at lunch counters and that kind of thing had just started. And these young people said, we want to do something different.
I met Reverend James Hall at a local diner.
Back in 1960, he was the young pastor of Springfield Baptist Church.
Hall led a group of eight students, including Jackson, in a campaign to desegregate Greenville's public libraries.
And I said, well, go to a library. Look like you're studying. If you are studying, get some books. Let them know that you're going to pursue education.
The eight students followed Hall's instructions. But when the cops arrived and threatened to throw them in jail,
she came back to the church and said, Pastor, they're talking about locking us up. I said, good. That's what I sent you there for.
So Jackson and the seven other students went back to the library and this time refused to leave. They were arrested and gained notoriety as the Greenville Eight. After several demonstrations and lawsuits, the public library system officially desegregated a couple months later. Inspired by Pastor Hall, Jackson would eventually leave Greenville to enroll at the Chicago Theological Seminary School in 1964, and the rest was history. But he never forgot where he came from, often returning home to see family and continue his civil rights activism. He led protests when South Carolina was slow to recognize MLK's birthday, and he fought to remove the Confederate flag from the state capitol. Former state representative James Felder was a lifelong friend of Jackson's. He says his Southern origins are key to his identity.
They know about him running for president twice and all of that. They know about the Rainbow Coalition. But where did he come from? What did he do?
This past Monday, the late Reverend Jackson returned to South Carolina one last time to lie in honor at the state capitol in Columbia.
He never lost his roots. And so that's why we fought so hard to bring him back here for final rites.
The same state house where he'd protested so many times before. A place that not long ago flew the Confederate flag, but not anymore.
Reporting from South Carolina, Summer Van Benton, WBEZ News.
Chicago Sun-Times reporter Lauren Fitzpatrick contributed to the story. You're listening to The Rundown. Charges were dropped this week against a group of 15 mothers arrested outside of the Immigration Processing Center in Broadview. The group staged a November sit-in at the facility to protest the immigration raids brought by Operation Midway Blitz. Group member Nikki Kidd told WBEZ's Say More the decision is a relief.
On the one hand, it was, you know, a little intimidating knowing that they did decide to file the charges. On the other hand, we were hopeful that they would recognize our right to protest and peacefully assemble and our right to free speech. And that is what ended up happening.
This comes as other people who protested during Midway Blitz continue to beat cases brought against them in court. Tyler Peck, the New York City Ballet principal dancer, is coming to Chicago this weekend, and the program turns classical ballet on its head. The Evening of Four Works is a mashup of dance genres, showing the famed American ballerina as she is not always seen on stage. One of the numbers is a collaboration with tap dancer Michelle Dorrance. Peck says it pushes her as a dancer.
I love a challenge. I feel like that's what keeps me like going in life. I've never been a good tap dancer, but I think that that's why I find like I'm just so intrigued with Michelle, and I work really hard to make sure I can hang with her.
The program this weekend also features a work that Peck choreographed. The Chicago-based kitchen dramedy The Bear is coming to an end, according to reporting from Deadline. The entertainment publication says the show's upcoming fifth season will be the last. The series stars Jeremy Allen White and Iowa Debris. It's put a spotlight on Chicago's real-world restaurant scene, and it often features cameos from some of the city's leading chefs. The network FX has not publicly confirmed that the show's ending. Showers with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight tonight. It'll be breezy with lows in the upper 50s. Chance of showers for Saturday morning. Breezy with highs in the mid-60s with temperatures falling to around 50 by the afternoon. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Dagman. Thanks for listening.